Here are the highlights from the latest episode of Free Talk Live. Visit freetalklive.com for the full episode.
I keep, you know, running across these articles and, you know, show
prep. Oh, it's depressing.
That it's like, I'm like, really? Like, as if, like, you know, statism wasn't bad enough. You know, here's yet another thing that
they might kill you.
I hadn't really thought to do, and somebody, of course, you know, did, and they wrote an article about it. This is from the Free Thought Project by Jack Burns.
Yeah, there's not a whole lot of optimistic news at the Free Thought Project, at least not the stories that I ever come across. It's always like police abuse and government corruption. And
yeah, and I mean, and like, you know, they do their homework, right? It's not like this stuff
doesn't
factually check out, you know? It's not like I'm reading fake news.
No, they've cited their sources usually. I mean, it's a strong libertarian editorial viewpoint at that website, so it's not, I don't think that they could claim to be like an unbiased news source or anything
right.
It's highly biased, but it's biased in the way that we like it.
Yeah. So at any rate, you know, I've sort of been on top of, you know, all the statistics of what police do, how many dogs they kill, or, you know, the number of citizens killed by police. And there's, you know, there's a few websites that track that you can go to. But
there's Puppy Side, which tracks the dog killings.
Puppy Side?
Mm-hmm.
We've long known police officers shoot and kill on average about 1,000 citizens in the U.S.
Mm-hmm.
every year for a variety of reasons. I laugh not because it's funny that police, but because it's 1,000 citizens every year.
Yeah.
And has been for quite some time. And that's not shocking. This is the lead in. We've known for a long time. Yeah. You know what I mean?
It's way worse than in the U.S. than in other countries. Like, there's other countries where they go years without shooting somebody.
It has been 7,000 days since the last officer shooting.
Yeah.
That's a sign you'll never see in the United States.
They know they can get away with it.
Yeah.
You know? I'm not saying that all police are psychopaths, but, you know, because I think some of them really did get into it for the right reasons. They want to try to catch the bad guys, and I don't know what percentage of the police are in it for the right reasons, but I know that if you're a psycho and you want to kill somebody legally, you can join the military.
Yep.
And you can join the police.
Yep. Sometimes the post office.
Well, they kill their own, right? Postal shootings or whatever.
Did you write this article?
I did not.
Very next, it's not even the end of the sentence where I stopped. The very
I haven't
next,
read it either.
So there's a comma. So it says, I'll read you the whole sentence, and then I'll pause where the comma is. We've long known police officers shoot and kill on average about 1,000 citizens in the U.S. every year for a variety of reasons, comma. None of which seem to take place in other parts of the world. I noticed gold.
Ooh.
7-year all-time high? Did I see that correctly?
Yeah. I mean, it's up there. It's not the all-time high, but the all-time high was around just under $1,900 back, 2012, 2011, somewhere in that range.
But the highest in 7 years, is that right?
Yeah, it's up there.
That's
$1,645, I think, right now. $1,645 for an ounce of gold.
And weird how that coincides with a recent drop in the stock market.
Well, the funny thing is, it's not coinciding. Silver isn't doing the same thing. Whereas, whereas 8, 9, 10 years ago, however long it was, that they both spiked up at the same time, roughly. Silver's not following the gold pattern this time. Gold's going up, but silver isn't.
Huh. I wonder what that's about.
I don't know. Yeah, I don't know what markets are doing.
Yeah. I
don't like people who try to tell me either. What do you know?
So I don't know anything about, you know, the stock market per se. Here's what I do know. Economics is really pretty simple. A lot of people think economics is very complex and, only the super smart mathematician and, you know, checkbook balancers are smart enough to figure out what the economy is doing and how, you know, and like, no, it's really all just gambling.
That's how I feel about it.
It's just like Vegas. You can't really know ever. I mean, you can make some pretty informed decisions with investments and things like that.
Now, some people say, well, if you were guilty, why would you run from the police? Well, maybe there are different reasons why they were running from the police. Maybe they had a bag of weed in their car and they were worried that they were going to get caught. I mean, some people would say nobody would run from the cops for that. But, You don't know why people are running from the cops. Sometimes they're just, like, you know, scared. They don't know what to do.
Some people react, fight or flight.
Yeah.
Right? It's a binary reaction that is a survival instinct of the human species, right?
Yeah.
And when
and
you're
these
confronted,
people are killers.
And, you know, I mean, quite honestly, most people flight, right? Most people run when it comes to a thing, right? You know, mm-hmm. if there's a shooting somewhere and in a public place, most people run. They scatter like cockroaches.
I've known people who have not committed a crime, but have told me that they have run from the cops simply because they knew they could. They had a badass motorcycle or something like that, and they knew that they could outrun the cops.
I've got a 1972 Cuda with a 440 six-pack in it, and you know, when I step on the gas, I can watch the gas gauge go down.
Yep. And in that case, they didn't commit a real crime. They just ran from the cops, and in some cases, they got away with it.
That's a shout-out to my brother's friend, Chris, who wanted to be a NASCAR driver. He owned some pretty badass cars. Bill Pulte is the avowed inventor of Twitter philanthropy, which he describes as giving food, necessities, rent, and more to people in need. He is now known by many simply by his Twitter handle of @Pulte, P-U-L-T-E. He was well known in parts of Michigan, but not nationwide before @Pulte started just giving away money to people on Twitter. So, Jimmy, you're back with us live on Free Talk Live.
Yeah, so my friend, he said that the guy sent him a private message, and basically he had to download the Cash App, mm-hmm. and that this would be sent through the Cash App. Well,
wait, I've not used the Cash App. Is that something pretty mainstream?
Yeah, Cash App is the Square product. It's by the company Square.
Yep.
And they are the number one free app for finance on the Android App Store, I believe, at this time, and have been for some amount of time. So it's kind of like a PayPal sort of thing where you hold a balance in dollars.
It's like a Venmo or something?
Yeah, but it can be used for business. Venmo's not allowed to be used for business.
Okay. All right.
But so, you know, I can send you Cash App. I can send you dollars over Cash App. Also, Cash App is noteworthy because a year or two, probably like 2 years ago, they started allowing their customers to buy Bitcoin. He's actually talking to the real Pulte, right? Like, this isn't like an imposter account or some sort of potential scam artist or something like that?
As far as I know, he showed me the message he got and everything, mm-hmm. and it looked legitimate, but the only thing that bugs me about any of it, even though it was the real account, was there was also this little thing at the bottom that said something about buying a $500 eBay card to up your allowance of money on the Cash App, and I thought, that almost sounds like a Nigerian scam.
That sounds like a scam.
It's funny you say that, because when you started your call announcing that, you know, a buddy of yours was getting some money from a tweet, the first thing I thought was, this sounds like the Nigerian Prince scam from the old email days.
Yeah.
Well, I'd be curious to see, you know, it's possible that he got contacted by somebody who's using a username. I'm just guessing here, right? Like, you know, somebody who's registered the Twitter handle Pulte with like a I instead of an L, right? Like, so, like a capital I. You know what I mean? You know, the capital I looks a lot like the lowercase L.
Yep.
So it may not actually be the real guy. I don't know how much due diligence this guy has done, but anything that requires you to spend money to get some money is likely to be a scam. So he should be very, very careful.
He hasn't done a whole lot of due diligence because he's not really that sort. Mm-hmm, he's not super responsible.
I'm in Holly Hill, Florida, and several years ago, I had a cop break into my house, come through the back, busted the back window in my house, and shot me in the back.
Jeez.
Actually, they had SWAT team all around me, and for 4 years, they had me on pretrial intervention, where I had to go and was subject to a drug test. It's kind of like probation, only instead of checking in once a month, I checked in every week. Monday
my God,
morning,
man.
What were they there for? What was the reason for the raid?
Okay. The reason that they came to my house was I was dating a girl, a dancing girl. By the way, right now I'm 64 years old. Mm-hmm. She is 33 now. I was dating a young girl, and she was out of place. It was during bike week in Daytona. We have a week where we have a lot of bikes in town. And it was actually Viketoberfest. And she was riding with me that week. At the end of the evening, she had gotten a little bit intoxicated, and I said, I'm taking you home. Well, I took her to her house. She didn't want to get off the bike. She wanted to stay with me. And I lifted her off my bike and put her on the sidewalk. She stumbled and fell into the street.
Ooh.
And a cop was going home. It was about 10:30, 11 o'clock at night. A cop was going home, and he saw her get up and me leave the scene.
Hey, Daily Digest listeners, this is Riley Blake. I enjoy Free Talk Live, and I know you do too, but finding time to listen to an entire episode isn't always easy, so I produce the Daily Digest. I appreciate those of you who have supported me on Patreon and sent Bitcoin to me to thank me for producing these digests. For those who wish to support me on Patreon, visit patreon.com/crblake86. If you wish to send Bitcoin, visit patreon.com/crblake86 for those details. That's patreon.com/crblake86. Thank you.
I asked them, did they have a warrant? No, they didn't have a warrant. They insisted on staying there by the next half an hour or so.
Just to be clear, they're still outside in the back porch at this point? They have not come through the window?
They're not coming through the window.
Okay.
But they know that I'm a disabled vet. The cops in that town know that I have a lot of weapons.
Mm-hmm.
They see me all the time. They know who I am.
Yep.
And not that I'm not a troublemaker or anything. By the way, if you look on your computer, I don't have a computer. I'm 64. I never had a computer. There's a computer site, VolusiaExposed.com.
Mm-hmm.
And the guy who runs that website, he came to all my court hearings and my court dates. And if you look it up by my name on there, it's all there. There's video of the cops. Anyway,
I'm
getting back to where I was at.
Yeah, how long ago did this occur, Michael? What year?
This is about 6 years ago.
Okay.
All right, go ahead.
And it was in October.
All right, so the cops are outside. They're in your back porch. They've broken the window. You've managed to tell them, don't come through or else. You know that at this point that you're dealing with cops, right?
At that point, I knew, and I called 911, and I said, hey, I got cops in my backyard. They said, we've got somebody coming on the way. They had already rousted my neighbors by that time, and I was the captain of the neighborhood watch, so that's how I knew the cops, and they knew me.
They then arrested you, took you to the hospital, did a terrible job of stitching up your wounds, had to take you back to the hospital, and I think that's where you left the story.
Yeah, I think you were being interrogated about stuff.
Yeah. Actually, the first time I went to the hospital, they did not stitch me. They just put gauze bandage over the hole with medical tape over the two holes in my back.
Wow.
And then I was interrogated. There was a pool of blood under me where I was bleeding. Then they took me back and they stitched it up.
Okay,
wait. And they came back and interrogated me some more.
I just have a question, Michael. So I'm looking at, the photos that are on VolusiaExposed.com, and you said holes in your back. Did you just get shot one time or twice?
Yeah, one time. The bullet went in and out.
Entry and exit.
Okay, I got you. Yeah,
you can look at the photo.
Went in on an angle. Okay.
Yeah, you can look at the photo here, and I think you lucked out, it looks like, because it kind of went in on like the back left side of your back and kind of went out the back left or the left side of your rib cage, it looks like. So it kind of cut through the very back edge of your body. It doesn't appear that it, pierced your lung or, did it, did it like pierce anything pretty serious? I mean, obviously it's bad when you get shot, but but it doesn't look like as bad as it could have been.
You know, it's a time when I'm a believer in Jesus Christ and I'm a Christian. It's a time where you, if it happened to you, you might do what I did. I was so thankful. I'm thinking God must have a reason to keep me around.
We were talking about, hypothetically, like, let's just say a guy was guilty of whatever the cops said you had done, Michael.
A domestic abuse, threw a girl off a bike or something.
Even if you were, guilty of whatever they accused you of, their behavior is not excusable, even if, you were guilty.
Shooting him in the back, number one. Two, going to his house at 2 a.m. to deal with that situation when the two of them had been separated at that point. They could have just picked him up later. They could have just gone in the morning or knocked on his door later and, the next day or something.
And let's
like
say
that.
Let's just say, you know, they did suspect Michael of being a violent person. Why would you bring her to
put her in more danger,
more violence if that's what they actually thought?
It's a crazy situation. So they had offered you a plea deal, multiple plea deals. They really, really, really wanted you to take a plea. And the story over at Volusia Exposed says that they were offering you some pretty sweet deals, like that basically you wouldn't have to do any kind of time. You would just get this conviction on your record. Just go ahead, take the plea, and it'll all be over with. But you didn't, Michael.
You're right. And the fact is, if I were guilty, those would have been sweet deals. The cops never, the state's attorney never, not one person ever said, hey, we're sorry we dragged you through this.
Nope.
They all knew that I wasn't guilty. Every one of them knew that I wasn't guilty. You can come to my town and talk to cops right now about the case, and they'll tell you, yeah, we know he got run through the ringer.
So did you...
He went to jail.
I'm sorry, Michael, did you, you know, in effect, did you win the case? Are you still
they
in
They dropped
court?
The charges.
They dropped the charges completely?
The charges.
After 4 years.
No after almost 4 years.
I'm
a week shy of 4 years. But that was their... they had to do something before that time, or the time to charge me expired.
They got like a statute of limitations on it.
They didn't cut a check. There's no justice for you in this case.
I hired a lawyer, and the lawyer for years, he'd tell me, I'm working on it. Then I find he got disbarred because he was a womanizer himself. And he wasn't following his motions. So me and probably a dozen more people lost our cases that he was handling for us.
Balls.
And at this point, it's all over. But the cops in my town, Holly Hill, know that I wasn't guilty of that.
If we're going to have government police, and that's a whole other question, is should we even have a monopoly, one-size-fits-all police force?
Right, right.
How could we do it without a monopoly? But that's another question. If you're going to have this monopoly police, under what circumstances should it be acceptable for them to go barreling through the streets at breakneck speeds, possibly killing
lights
innocent bystanders?
Huge sirens.
You know, under what circumstances is that okay? And there probably are some where you could say, okay, some maniac just murdered, you know, a church full of people.
Yep.
Okay. I can see the reason there.
Yep. Yep.
But unless you've got somebody who's an immediate threat to the lives of other people and they've threatened to, you know, to kill people or whatever, I just don't think that in most circumstances you really need to be going at a high-speed chase. Because if you're not chasing the person at a high speed, odds are they're not going to need to go at a high speed.
Well, and with the growth of Skynet, I mean, all of the network objects that are connected to each other that police and law enforcement and the FBI and the CIA and basically all forms
various
of government.
Cameras various cameras and such.
Yeah, cameras,
phones.
Radios, phone, all that stuff.
Yeah, dude's got a cell phone on him. You know where he is at all times.
You can be tracked virtually almost no matter where you are. If you, as a human being, would like to receive vaccines... Feel free to go ahead and do so.
It's your body.
It's your body. Your
Put
choice.
Put whatever you want into it.
You know, if you have done some research and sought out some medical advice, or maybe you didn't. Maybe, you know, Jim Bob next door has said, hey, I got these vaccines and I haven't had the flu in years or whatever it is, right? You know, okay. Far out, solid, and right on. You go ahead and you go get those vaccines, right? If you want them for your children, okay. You know, you are... ostensibly the legal guardian.
See, that's where things get a little sticky, right? Because, yeah, they're your children, but aren't they also their own people? Aren't they also...
Well, we know that minorities are the... we know that children, that's people under the age of 18 years of age in the United States, are the last minority group to get any recognition of rights. They still really have none,
well,
basically.
I understand that the term children you used there was the legal definition. But it's not the actual definition of child. A child is someone who has not reached puberty. And people at age 8, 17, 16, 15, 14, and you know a couple of years below that have absolutely reached puberty. And they are certainly people who can make decisions for themselves.
Right.
But
I just wanted to finish what I was trying to say, which is you completely have the right to get vaccines. If your child isn't old enough to make a decision or understand what's happening to them, I guess it's okay if you decide for them.
Obviously, you have a responsibility if you have a child to take care of them. But should you be saddling them with things that they may not actually value later on? I mentioned genital mutilation. That's right. Obviously a controversial one. But something that maybe less people consider is signing their child up for a social security number.
Yep.
Maybe your son or daughter would have preferred to have been outside of that system. And remember, these are all things they can do to themselves later. If they want to mutilate their own genitals, they can do that. And if they want to get a social security number later, they can do that. Yep. So I'm more on the side of let your children grow up and make their own decisions about these things rather than making decisions for them, which they may not appreciate down the line, you know, in retrospect. And I think that vaccinations is a tough one on that case because, you know, whether or not their genitals get mutilated is probably not going to have a huge effect on whether they come down with something, right? Like the odds are they're not going to get an infection in their genitals if they don't mutilate them. And that's one of the big fears about that. But in the case of vaccinations, there is the concern, like, you know, you don't want to get the mumps, right? Or whatever it is they're vaccinating for. Of course, when we were growing up, Captain, and we're not too far off in age, they had far fewer vaccinations than they do today.
Mumps, measles, rubella, chickenpox.
I think that was about it, right?
Like, I don't even think they had the chickenpox vaccine because I remember.
I don't think they did. I got it.
Yeah. I remember getting
you
chickenpox.
You live through it and then you don't get it again.
And it was one of those things where they like took me somewhere where other kids had chickenpox and had me play with them would get it. There's a company named after dogs that I think you had an article about.
I do. Greyhound.
Greyhound. Leave the driving to them used to be their slogan for a bunch of years.
Yeah, and there's really, really good news. In fact, the last time we talked about Greyhound, there was also some pretty good news about how Greyhound is handling ICE, the Immigrations and Customs Enforcement bureaucracy.
This is also known as the man for our listeners out there.
Yeah, and the story we covered previously, and I think it was like, I don't know, a year or so ago maybe, was that Greyhound had actually been putting Know Your Rights information out on like giant posters in their various different facilities, right? So like the bus stops, there's posters, sort of
what
self-promotional.
What kind of information did these posters contain?
Basically, know your rights in regards to how to handle encounters with the Border Patrol and the police.
Like don't talk to cops and all that kind of
stuff? Wow, that's amazing. Like you don't have to consent to a search. Don't talk to the police kind of, you know, here's what your rights are. Learn them, use them, that kind of thing.
That's amazing. How come more businesses don't do this kind of thing?
Well, in the case of Greyhound, they specifically had been targeted for more than a decade by the Border Patrol. Greyhound had previously insisted that even though it didn't like the immigration checks, it had no choice under federal law but to allow them. In an emailed statement, the company said it would notify the Department of Homeland Security that it does not consent to unwarranted searches of its buses or in areas of terminals that are not open to the public, such as company offices or any areas a person needs a ticket to access. So this is a big, big deal. And
that's just so fan. I want to book a Greyhound ticket
just to say
right
you.
Now. I got to figure out somewhere to go quick.
Greyhound said it would provide its drivers and bus station employees updated training regarding the new policy, meaning they're going to train their drivers to just say no. When these agents try to pull them over and harass them, they're going to be trained to say no. Unless you have a warrant, officer, you're not allowed to board this. Do you have a ticket or a warrant? Because one or the other, you're not getting on.
I wish I had the applause button to press because this deserves a standing ovation, in my opinion.
Well, I will have to train you on the applause button because
we have one.
It's in hidden. The show stuff folder under the SFX subfolder. You'll find it there.
All right. More training for me coming up.
Yep. So they say further, quote, our primary concern is the safety of our customers and team members. They say that Greyhound, this is, by the way, from the Chicago Sun-Times. And by the way, they didn't get a comment from U.S. Customs and Border Protection. They did not return a call. Greyhound has faced pressure from the ACLU, the American Civil Liberties Union, immigrants' rights activists, and Washington State Attorney General Bob Ferguson to stop allowing sweeps on buses within 100 miles of an international border or coastline. In many cases, the buses being checked were not crossing or even approaching an international boundary. Critics say the practice is intimidating and discriminatory and has become more common under President Donald Trump. Border Patrol arrests. But by the way, this has been going on for years, since back to the Bush presidency, through Obama.
I remember when they did that whole 100 miles within the border thing, which is a long way, by the way, away from a border for you to be like, yeah, you're kind of near the border. 100 miles? You're not really near the border.
Border Patrol arrests videotaped by other passengers have sparked criticism, and Greyhound faces a lawsuit in California alleging it violated consumer protection laws by facilitating these raids. Andrea Flores, deputy director of the ACLU's Equality Division, said, quote, "We are pleased to see Greyhound clearly communicate that it does not consent to racial profiling and harassment on its buses. By protecting its customers and employees, Greyhound is sending a message that it prioritizes the communities it serves." Good. They should be prioritizing their customers, not these government goons.
Absolutely, 100%.
Who are harassing their customers. The Border Patrol has insisted that it doesn't profile passengers based on their appearance.
You just heard highlights from the latest episode of Free Talk Live. You can download full episodes, subscribe to our podcast, listen live, and more, all for free at freetalklive.com.